Let's all stand for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you again with grateful hearts. We thank you for this privilege we have of living in a land of freedom, in a land of peace. We pray, Father, that you might especially bless this service right now. We pray that you might bless this message. We ask you might work in my life, help me to be able to share what you want me to share. We ask that your spirit would move among us this morning. And if there's something that we need, we pray that your spirit would reveal it to us so that we can then respond to that and correct it or be just drawn closer to you. We pray again that you might help us to realize that everything is yours. We just ask you might help us to see your greatness. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for your prayers. I don't think we realize the value of prayer. This past week, came across an interesting thought, and that is, you know, my wife and I were talking, and we all want to be healthy. We like to eat right, exercise, etc. And I was made to think, most all of us have gone through school. And I have a question for you in regards to that. How many went through grade school? Okay. How many went through high school and graduated? Okay. And how many went through college? I didn't go through college. Oh, there's a couple hands. All right. Well, in that process, how are you graded? In other words, what letters do they use for your grading? Anyone? X, Y, Z? Okay, A, B, C? D, E, F? I just realized, I didn't know this, but in 1930, they took the letter E out of the grade scale because they were afraid people would think that meant excellent. So it's A, B, C, D, F. And F stands for failure. And I have to admit, I had Fs already in my life. But that's in the world's perspective. And as I thought about life and being healthy and doing what's best for us, we need to major in Fs. And there's different things that we thought about. If you want to find fulfillment and, you know, have an abundant life, a fulfilled life, you're going to need to have a good family. You're going to need to have good friends. You're going to have good food. And you're going to have good fellowship. And I think we have that here. But the question is, am I utilizing it? Am I exercising with it? But more importantly, the Fs that I'd like to really bring in is, what are you focusing on? And it's interesting when Vlad was sharing, you know, we orbit. So what are you focusing? I have written down here truth. Am I focusing on truth? Which is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus. Am I focusing on Jesus? If we focus on truth, it's going to then create a fear or a respect for this truth. Wednesday night at brothers' meeting, I appreciated a brother's input from the standpoint he said, you know, do we fear God? He didn't say it that way, but I saw it or sensed it that way. Do we fear God the way we should? In other words, if we really see God as he really is, we're going to be concerned that we don't do something he doesn't want us to do. So we need to have a reverence or a fear for God or for truth. And if we have that, then what follows is faith. And that's a belief or obedience. We call it following. And when you do all these things, when you focus on truth, you have a fear for truth, you have a faith in truth, you have a following in truth, you will find fulfillment. So we want everyone here to be healthy. And the most important health that is critical is your spiritual health. Because if you have your spiritual health in order, you know, we still need family, we still need friends, we still need fellowship, we need food, but we want to make sure that we have our F's in order. We want to major in our F's in our life. I just wanted to give that as kind of as a starting point, if you want to call it that, because if we don't have our focus right, we're not going to come out right. Last Sunday, Art had children's lesson. And what did he give you? I want one of the children to tell me, what did Art give you? A letter, that's right. And what else did he give you in that letter? I think it was a little, was it called a note? A sticky note, right. How many got the story from Art on your sticky note? How many asked Art for a sticky note story? Anybody? I see a couple hands. Well, I'd encourage you or challenge you, get that sticky note and go after Art, because he said he loves to tell stories. So, and I think he'll tell true stories, so we'll be fine. Anyway, well, one of the things he said, and that is, this here is a letter from God. And actually, I call it God's love letter. And this morning, I was wanting to share about a week ago or a little time ago, I was talking to a brother, and he made this comment. He says, he does not think that we talk enough about the love of God. And I think he's right. I think the love of God is something that we've kind of pushed off in the back. And this morning, I guess I'd like to ask the question, what is the love of God? And I was, like usual, I like to put something on the board. And I was thinking of singing a song while I do that. And I will say this up front. I'm going to very, 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 very little scratch the surface of the love of God. Because we sang a song the last two Sundays, which I'm going to have sung now. I changed my song. Because the song that I wanted you to sing, I don't think people are going to know it as well as this one. And that is 779. So use all 779 while I put on the board a couple things. Imnery, yes.
Love of God is nature, Father, and time again, and ever and ever. Lift up the eye.
Thank you. I hope you don't get tired of singing that song. What I put up here of love, this is God's love. It's long-suffering, it's overwhelming, it's vibrant, and it's everlasting. And as I'm saying, we are just scratching the surface. Because God loved us when we were unlovely. We are not worthy of this love. But God loved us so much. Even when, you know, when Jesus came and he was rejected by his creation, and he went through with making a way for us to get redeemed, it's unfathomable love. And the sad thing is, you know, each one of us are born in our Adamic nature, and that Adamic nature is very selfish. It's just the way it is. All right, I would like to read a couple of verses. In Psalms 86:15, I'd like to read this verse. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Long-suffering and compassion are just God's attributes. They're just a part of his love toward us. Romans 8. I'd like to read a few verses here. Beginning at verse 34. If I get the right book, it'd probably be better. Yeah, Romans 8, beginning at verse 34, says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." His love is just overwhelming. You can't beat it. In other words, I shared with you this before. When a person came into my shop, you know, he made this statement: "Who can I trust? Who can I trust? The government is something you can't really trust. But we can trust God, because God's promises are sure. God's promises, his word, God said he changes not, and what he says he will do." And I think that's one of the reasons why we as parents need to make sure you be careful what you say to your children, because you say what you mean and mean what you say, because you are representing God in that child's mind. And if we can get that across, you're going to be able to cover a lot of ground down the road. It will help them realize that this is how God works. This is God's function. And so we need to make sure we do the same thing. So God's overwhelming love. Then in Ephesians 6, there's some verses here. I'd like to read Ephesians 3. I'm going to read verses 13 to 21. "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that is, might be filled, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Vibrant is, love is an active word. And it is love, God's love is active. It's exciting. It's full of energy. And it was mentioned with Vlad, we need to orbit ourselves around Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can have that relationship is like was mentioned, and that is we need to be born again. We need to be fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. We need to just be crucified from ourselves. Now, I'd like to go to Matthew. There's some verses here. Matthew 22. And we've read these over and over, but I came across an interesting thought with this act of love, and that is God's love is everlasting. Matthew 22, we're going to begin reading at verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. God's love is everlasting. God's love is actually like a circle. There's no beginning, there's no end. That's the love of God. Now, the thing that stood out to me is our lives are made, he mentions, this love should be filled with God, others, and me. If you read this verse, it says, and the second link to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to love ourselves. Because if you don't love yourself, you know, who else will? In other words, it's a natural thing for us to be, in quotes, selfish. But the interesting thing is this God love, the only way you're going to have true love is from God. That's the only way. God is love. Everything outside of God is not, it could be lust, it could be all sorts of other things, but it's not a true love. A true love is beyond our human understanding. Now, I want you to understand something here. This three-fold aspect of God's love, we have to love God, we have to love others, and we have to love ourselves. And that has to be entwined. Because if you take one of these out, that's not God's love. It's not going to work. Because what happens in too many times, people say, well, I love myself and I love God, but you know, this neighbor over here, I can't handle him. But that is not the love of God. It's to love everyone, it's to love ourselves, and it's to love God. So that twining of three is a depiction of God's love. And the only way you're going to be able to get that is by having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Following the golden rule, Matthew 7:12 reads like this. Matthew 7, verse 12, it says, Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. To me, God has given us his word for us to follow. I like to read 1 John 3, and I wish you would all turn to that. Because this is technically, in my mind, divine love. And I think John, you know, all pun intended, he was a love disciple. And I'm thankful I'm named John. But John, 1 John 3, I like to read this chapter, and I'm wanting you to let the Spirit work in your life. It said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. That's 3. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and whereof slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit enters our life. And the love of God comes a part of that package. And our lives then are a part of this circle of God's love. And the only way that this will work is by having God in us, because it doesn't work outside of it. And people can put on, pretend or act or whatever, but deep down in, in other words, as a man thinketh, so is he. And my cry is that, you know, I don't think we totally comprehend the love of God like we should. And when Vlad was asking, you know, where could you improve? And this thought came to my mind, and that is, sometimes my thoughts aren't what they should be about a person or whatever. And we need to ask God to help us to have that love of God in our hearts, in our lives, so that we can have pure thoughts. I think it was brothers meeting, the cry that I think we need to emphasize is, are we redemptive in the things that we do? Because that's all Jesus did when he was here. He was redeeming people. He was restoring people to a closer walk with him. He was helping people out to help them see the love of God by his life, by his works. And technically, we are now, like was said, ambassadors. And that means we are representing God's kingdom in our lives. And the question I like to ask, what do people see? Do they see that we love Jesus Christ? I remember going to a hardware store one time, and this was, I was probably in my 20s, and something, they didn't charge me enough or something like that. I think that's what it was. And I went there, and this lady was like, she said, well, look, you know, you didn't have to come back and pay this. And I say, well, I want to be able to sleep at night. I want to be honest. And she was, and I mentioned to her that I'm representing God's kingdom, and I want to make sure that I have no fault in my background, because God loves me, and I want to make sure that I'm doing my part. But it impressed this lady, because she knew that I was going above and beyond. And I'm not here trying to toot my horn, but I'm just saying that we need to mind the Spirit. If the Spirit tells you you need to do something, you better do it. And because we need to reflect God's kingdom. It's very critical. Now I have two poems that I like to read. People don't realize, but I had the privilege, let me put it this way, my grandfather was a bishop in Lancaster Conference. And when my grandfather passed away, his things got dispersed among the children, grandchildren, etc. And I had the privilege of getting some of his paperwork, some of his files. And last evening, something told me I should go to this file. And I went and got this file out. And there's these two. The one is the love of God, and the other one is perfect love. And in this same folder, there was another brochure which I read last night, because it stood out to me. These are old papers. These are old things. Early 1900s, okay? Well, let me just tell you this. I copied the postcard. It's a 1-cent stamp, by the way. And it's March 12th of 1932. My grandfather got this postcard. And the postcard is the Golden Rule Postcard Company from Michigan. And I don't know what the situation was, but there's a note, a BB note, has his signature on the bottom. He sent this to my grandpa, and I'm assuming there was some issues happening back then. And my wife and I are trying to think. My grandfather passed away when I was 11 or 12. It wasn't, yeah. And I loved him. He always whistled, and he was a good man. But I'm sure he went through a lot. And actually, I'm going to go down a little bunny trail here. I was sharing somewhere, and there was an old lady came up to me, and she said, "You're Elmer Martin's grandson, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "You preach just like him." And I was like, okay, I didn't know that. Anyway, here's the poem, The Love of God. The love of God is more real to me than all man's words could ever be. For words are words, and words once said can't heal blind eyes or raise the dead. The love of God, so real, so soft, picks up the work where words leave off. The only key to every door, God's love moves mountains, and much more. Jesus once was just a word I tossed about but scarcely heard. An empty word, a prophet's name, was said in jest or used in vain. The love of God, that precious key, has made this Jesus real to me. It moved the mountain in my heart and gave my life a brand new start. Oh, friend, that I could tell you of all the things God's love can do, but words are words and can't convey how real his love can be today. Instead, I'll say this simple prayer. I say for lost ones everywhere, that all may seek and finally feel the solace of his love so real. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall have eternal life. My cry is that God's love is so great. We have no, I don't think we lose sight of it, because the devil gets us so wrapped up and busy in things and material things and so on, and we lose the focus like we need to major in so that God can work in our lives. Now here's the poem, Perfect Love, that my grandfather got. I think my grandfather was born in the late 1800s, if I am calculating right. So I realize that, you know, this is 2023. I'm getting really good here. But it'd be nice to be able to talk to him. I can't now. Someday I will. Anyway, perfect love. Perfect love the Father giveth, full of grace, so rich and free, like the rain or dew of morning, falling now on you and me. Perfect love is born in Jesus. Naught of self can victory gain. Till we find it all in Jesus, all our efforts prove but vain. Perfect love will never falter. Perfect love will never fear. And when the days are dark and stormy, perfect love will always cheer. Perfect love will never slander friend or foe where'er they go, but will raise a fallen brother and will take his seat below. Perfect love that long will suffer, never murmur or complain, never ask her own or covet others' wealth or earthly fame. Perfect love is meek and lowly. Perfect love is rich and free. Perfect love is Jesus only, come to dwell in you and me. May God help us have that perfect love. And the only way you're going to have that perfect love is by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we come to you again with humble hearts to thank you for what Jesus has done to show us what true love was and is. We pray, Father, that you might help us to reflect Jesus in every way. We pray that if there's someone here that does not have that relationship of love with you, that they would make that choice. We thank you again for everything you have done for us, and we just pray that you might help us to have that perfect relationship with you, and that your love would radiate from our lives so that more souls can be brought into your kingdom while time and eternity meet. We ask in Christ's name. I do have a closing song, and that is 780 in the Christian Hymnary. May God bless you as you find love in Christ.
Christian Hymnary number 780. Bass, we're going to need you to come in strong here in the chorus, so let's get ready. Since the love of God is shed.